yet.
KO4, IRN, I'm just leaving now, mobile.
Is Hornet?
It's pretty quiet in the mornings last couple weeks.
This repeater doesn't work as well as it used to until it gets his antenna switch fixed. So it doesn't work as well as it used to until they fixed it, but it's going to be a lot of, logistically, it's going to be a hard fix.
Guys will figure it out.
They got to get, they do the rigging to move, to put an antenna on the tower. If you don't realize, that rigging is very, got to be very careful, and it's very dangerous doing what they got to do.
As long as they're careful.
Careful doesn't, you know, you got to realize, you can be careful and still have an accident. You got to be very careful, even when you're careful sometimes. You know, I'll never forget one time I was, I built an engine for a guy, for a mud bogger, and cleared with 1,000 off, it was nothing going to hurt, and he went out the track, and a brand new wrist pin had snapped, and he had split it in half, the engine was doing about 9,500 when it broke.
It doesn't take much.
What they'll understand is a wrist pin has 15 tons of pressure on each golf stroke. There's a lot of pressure on that pin.
Area of expertise, I could not tell you.
What the guy did, he was smart about it, Jimmy Kovacs. I'd mentioned him before. He's not alive anymore. He kind of gave up, and after that same weekend, they had no EMTs at the track, and he was the only one with experience, so the driver froze next to the head of him. The car rolled the track, the spectators were close to the wall. 7 spectators got hit, and he was the only one with EMT experience to try to help save them all, and he lost one. Because Virginia wasn't smart enough. Most tracks in the country, it's against the law to race with no ambulance there.
New York, when I was living up there, we used to go to the quarter mile track and walk into Glen a lot, and there was always paramedics and fire trucks nearby.
You probably didn't know. Authorities to, if it's not safe to race, who can call the race? The fire marshal.
Drop the ball on that one.
Well, the ultimate authority, they have, fire marshals have more authority than building inspectors do.
For public safety.
With the building department one time. You want to hear a funny story?
Good.
Oh, but I wasn't laughing then. I was working in an old American Radionics building up in Danbury. It used to be, first it was a hat factory, then it was American Radionics. A lot of toxic chemicals. That's where most of the medical damage was done to me. But anyway, we dealt with asbestos, PCP, all kinds of crap that, unfortunately, we had no, I didn't know it was even there, see whatever you call it, you know, these transformers, the barrel of it, something they just had to burn it, and we breathed it, and got it in our hands, and everything else, but anyway, I didn't know we didn't have a license to work in the building, so we all of us had electrical skills, so we just went downstairs, and my friend and I, all of us stuck together, we fixed it. Well, somebody called the building inspector. The guy comes in there. I'm in the shop, right? And this guy's freaking out. You know, my God, I got a fine guy. And it's not worth something that happens and all this crap. I said, listen, buddy, let me tell you something. If I got to get out of this building, you just follow me.
Sometimes they love their codes. They're a little too much.
But when the fire marshal agreed with me and Ronnie, so we stayed there.
Up in when I was in New York, I mostly dealt with OSHA a lot. They're a pain in the neck, too.
Toughest organization I've ever seen in my life.
Really ain't know about a lot of stuff. I mean, they wanted the data sheets on, you know, the MSDS sheets on every single chemical. Didn't matter if it was Windex or toilet cleaner, they wanted sheets on everything.
Monoxide is a dangerous chemical, right?
Everybody exhale at once, and it's like, here we go. Get it over with.
They got the authority to get you involved in the middle of the problem with the building inspector and everybody else.
I get it why they're, you know, the way they are, but sometimes it's just like, really? It's a waste of time on something.
When you buy a hazardous chemical, it tells you, the data sheet tells you what to do and what not to do. It tells you exactly what you're dealing with.
That's why you have training. And when the data sheets are buried in the back of a file cabinet, they're no good to anybody in a real emergency.
Yeah, well, it's just like when you go to the hospital, like one of my friends had an operation, I said, you bring your drugs with you. Don't rely on them if they know everything you're on. And any little detail that anesthesiologist needs to know, you better give it to them because your life might be in the balance because of it.
I always know what you're allergic to, what your prescriptions are, all that stuff.
I know what I'm allergic to, but sometimes I can't read. So sometimes, you know, I can't read stuff. So sometimes it makes it more difficult.
Allergic to it. I always make sure they have it on file no matter where I go.
First company took the prednisone off my file and almost killed me.
Took the Vicodin, so they almost killed me with that.
You can take Percocet, Vicodin, prednisone, someone gave me penicillin, all kinds of weird stuff.
Biking in one time, and I forgot what it was for, and I passed out in the parking lot as soon as I got, you know, discharged. So I passed out in the parking lot, and I wake back up in the hospital room with an IV in my arm. I was like, what the heck happened? Yeah, that was scary.
That happens?
Only one time, and I always make sure when I go to the doctors that they know that I'm allergic to Vicodin. I don't want it, I don't want no derivative of it, I don't want nothing to do with it.
Yeah, too. I had a problem with all, they gave me two antibiotics over here for different things, because of mouse species in the lawnmower shop, they didn't culture it, and it mutated and everything else, and I'm down to the last antibiotic they could ever use on me again.
I'm not allergic to any antibiotics so far.
They over-medicated me with them, and the body revolted. COPD, CHF, along with chronic bronchitis, and everything else along with it. And I have a deviated symptom of my nose, which makes things even worse.
Aaron, yeah, some of the stuff is the medications. You just got to be very careful with them, especially new ones.
Okay, I'm formulating. The problem is, though, You know, I'm allergic to so many, it's like a list. And, you know, you gotta be very careful.
Effect king, so if there's a side effect, or a bunch of them, I'm bound to get at least half of them.
Occasion one time, or antibiotic, and there was 7 side effects, I had all 6, and I asked a friend of mine, read me the sheet, he goes, what's the 7th one? He said, that's, well, that's the only one I haven't had yet.
Experience I had with medications was through my back out right at my mid-20s, and I took Done back medicine, and then the next day I woke up deaf, couldn't hear a thing. So I'm like, what the heck? And I read the back of the box, and it says, can cause hearing loss.
You're not totally blind. That would be a real problem.
So I always try to make sure what the side effects are in some things, because I might get a couple of them.
It's scary, man. I hate waking up in a hospital and not knowing what happened.
No, that's not fun. Trust me on that one. That's not fun.
Pretty good this morning.
My my mobile in the car. I'm on 178 heading towards Anderson. On some fleet trucks and do some wiring and whatever else I'm told to do, like everybody else.
No, man. You guys get some people abuse the heck out of those things.
Fleet vehicles is, even at my other job I had years ago, a lot of drivers don't report things, even though it's minor, but at least something major. They don't say anything. They just let it go and go and go because they don't want to give up their vehicle. You know, that's their, you know, work for the day. They don't want to swap vehicles. They don't want anything to do with that. So they don't say anything until it gets real bad to the point where the truck's inoperable.
Seen a lot of, my brother's been seeing a lot of, he's been a mechanic a long time, and it scares the crap out of me. Seen stressed aluminum front end parts with stress fatigue, just like engine parts have. That's real scary. They better stop making that Chinese crap in American cars.
You know, that's never going to end, the Chinese stuff. A lot of the parts from Mexico are usually pretty good.
But you know what, though? We're going to have to, the public's going to have to put an end to this crap. Watching Larry the Cable Guy. And they're out in Louisiana. And he's a nutcase. You better laugh when you watch him. You gotta laugh at some of the things he does.
It's in a low spot on 178. I didn't really copy much of what you just said.
Up to Larry the Cable Guy, you get a laugh out of some of the things he says and does. It makes me laugh. Always laugh when I watch him. On that hole. Out of that spot.
A little bit on that one.
Right now, I was saying Larry the Cable Guy's pretty funny. I watch him sometimes. It's pretty funny some of the stuff he does.
Can't wait to get, I'm going to put a Kenwood in here in my car. I get a better signal with that than I do with a CHT.
Yeah, on the center of the roof is a lot better shot of it.
There's an antenna on the, on the side of my roof, it's about 3 feet tall. HD hooked up to BT amplifier, so it's supposed to be up to 25 watts, somewhere around there.
Yeah, with 25 watts?
Yeah, most of them I can hear what's going on.
And that's kind of a funny spot for this repeater down there.
Close to Harris Bridge Road, that's when I usually start losing it a little bit.
Your signal's doing pretty good.
Transmit's pretty good, but the receive on this thing is not so good.
You noise or anything? I don't hear any.
Looks like I plugged into the cigarette lighter.
When a newer car's doing that, because you'll blow the stupid. The wiring's so bad, a newer car. My mom got a pain dropped in the cigarette lighter one time. You ever had that happen?
Says I have.
A penny in it. I had to change the whole deck, but you know what? It was an older car. It never burned the wiring out.
There's no change in my car, so I'm good.
Well, no, I don't even think. Can you buy a cigarette lighter anymore?
2019 Jetta. I don't have a cigarette lighter in here. It's got the socket, but I don't have the actual cigarette lighter.
Can't even put one in there because they use some of the wiring kind of for these days. They use relays on everything. So I really got to watch out for that.
It's a temporary setup so I can get a better radio in here.
It's a bummer it doesn't have a real good receive because your signal's pretty darn good.
Because I'm going to put this amplifier in my on my deck at home so I can hang outside and use the HT out there.
Fantastic.
setup. I got a 17-foot antenna on top of a 5-foot tripod on top of the garage, so it's up there.
Yeah, fortunately, I'm using a handy party. I got to put new coax on my tower, but my antenna is on a 50-foot tower if I can get new coax to it.
Yeah, my setup at home, I can hear everybody down. I can hit some Belton repeaters, and I even heard somebody outside of Augusta, Georgia last week.
Band opens up, I've heard repeaters recorded all over the place.
My general, before they jack up the price on that.
General, it's not the test is that hard either.
I took my technician one. I got certified this year, October 21st. I got my call sign. And so I took the general with it, and I failed that miserably.
There's a lot of little things that some of the antenna series are a little tricky, and the satellite stuff a little bit tricky.
I'll study for it. I'll probably take it in January. I got the book on my Kindle. I got it on my Audible, so I can hear it and read it all the time. Study.
My class, I'm going to do that. I want to use those frequencies in chaos formula, and I think it's almost time. Is this repeater 8 minutes ID or is it exactly 10?
That repeater what?
This repeater is 8 minutes on the ID or 10 minutes?
I just keep it within the 10 minutes, I guess.
Sometimes I forget. I haven't been fined yet for it. I'm sure one of these days they will.
Good boy.
Sometimes I can, but sometimes you make a mistake or forget or, something, you're in the middle of something. And I don't really think they're going to waste their time with it. I mean, I try to not break too many of the laws if I can help it.
Try to be a good little boy. But yeah, I want to get my general beginning of the year, and I'm not really interested in using HF bands and all that. I just want to get it.
HF, start playing with it. It's a lot of fun.
Maybe someday I will. Just not really interested in it right now. I have enough money invested in the what I have now.
Yep. I'm building an old AM transmitter out of junk I got laying around here. I got an old NC300, and I got an older transmitter, too, along my 706. And I'm going to put an old transmitter on here. I'm going to build a homebrew piece of junk, and when I run low power, I'm going to build a little tube amp with it and run low power, and I probably won't even have $200 in the whole thing.
I got over about 1,000 into my setup so far, but it's a lot of grounding and a lot of other stuff.
It's a good procedure to do that anyway. It's not that hard to do. I will tell you this. If you put up a tower, it's a pain with the ground rod. You got to do 4 ground rods, have a 4 wire, and this and that. And my nephew, being an engineer, he didn't listen to what the RF engineer told him. He's a friend of mine. When he did it wrong, the way Kevin told him not to do it, Kevin goes down to Home Depot, buys 2 more ground rods, hands a 10-pound fuzz hammer, and he says, "Now, Mr. Engineer, why don't you try doing that again? Try to show me how this is done."
A couple minutes before I go in. But yeah, I live right next to the Liberty Airport, so I can't really put up a big tower near my house. They fly really low with the single engine planes.
You put a tower, a crank up, and you put a 22-foot antenna, 21-foot antenna, and you're fine.
Okay, but for now, my setup at home is working really, really well.
Receiver that you can hear a little better, because when you get a good receiver, you won't believe the difference.
Hey, at home I'm using a Kenwood TM V71A, and that thing's working great.
got to get something in the car. But, you know, you can kind of get an old rig pretty cheap. Probably a hundred, you know, look around. You'll find somebody's got one laying around. I grab for $100, you never know.
The same radio I got at home, the Kenwood there. I'm actually bidding on one right now on eBay. So hopefully I win that one, and then I'll get that put in the car, then I have two of the same one, which makes it easier for programming, because I can just bring my laptop outside and plug it in.
You should try playing with some of these transmitters when you can't see, but don't speech. It gets tough. See, what time is it?
6:21.
About 8 or 9, so we're getting it. So I'll let you get going since you're at work like us. Signal didn't do that bad. I heard you all the way in pretty much.
Good. I guess all that money was well spent on this amplifier.
You know what people don't realize? You know how much power we can run on 2 meters?
With 5 watts.
Alex, on this tower, I should be able to hit the repeater with 100 milliwatts. But I don't know if the repeater's got good enough ears to do it now. It used to.
Fortunately, it's time for me to head in now. So, KO4, IRN, 73. Have a good day.
Have a good day.